I got
Let's try that again.
Gopher Gridiron Radio is brought to you by the Goal Line Club. If you want to support Gopher football, become a member today. It's only $100.
And that $100 goes directly to supporting the Gopher football program. There's no other hands coming in to say 20% of this is going to this place. It's 100% to help PJ Fleck and this Gopher football program, of which, by the way, they're in a 3-game Big Ten winning streak. So if you want to learn more, go to goallineclub.org/memberships to learn more.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to Northwestern Week. And it's also Halloween, Luke. Yeah. So my first question for you is, are the little ones going trick-or-treating on Sunday?
Yeah, they're going to go trick-or-treating. What that looks like, I'm not exactly sure. I learned this over the last few days. There's something called a trunk or treat, which is basically like people meet in parking lots and open up their trunks. I don't know if this is a COVID thing or not, but then everybody.
In the world?
Yeah, they open up their trunks and you walk around to the trunks.
What's the point?
You walk around to the trunks, so you get a bunch of candy and everybody all is in one place. I don't know if it's like friend groups that do it and churches.
How do you think that I defeated my social anxiety as a child? I had to go door to door to people I didn't want to talk to. Because I'm hoping that, I'm trying to get a king size.
Was there a global pandemic going on? Was there a global pandemic?
I don't know. Just put the candy out on the chair and you stand in the doorway. I mean, I get it. That's strange to me, man.
Yeah.
No. I never heard of that
trunk,
one before.
Trunk or treat. Trunk or treat.
Trunk or treat. So that's what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, I think that's roughly the plan. So I don't know that I have a costume. I know that my littlest one is going to be a carrot. And I don't know what my 2-year-old's going to be. So
that goes perfectly with the whole ginger thing. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's going to be a
carrot. I'm so glad your wife decided that. That's perfect.
Yeah, brilliant. So let's get into some Gopher football. So as it is Halloween, things will be probably lit on campus, as the kids say. But, there will be a Gopher game at 2:30 against Northwestern. Go ahead.
It's not going to be lit in Evanston. As the kids would say, we'll go to my grave. The over under for this game for fans in attendance, 12,500.
Okay.
I mean,
I'll take the over.
Is just so blah.
It is blah.
That Northwestern's blah. So why are the kids going to show up?
Well, I mostly meant that maybe on the University of Minnesota's campus, it would be lit, but they'll just be watching the game. So.
I feel so old now that the two of us have used the term lit like 4 times in the last 2 minutes, but continue.
So looking at this game, injury-wise, we probably got to take a deeper dive. I think we have to note each week, Trey Potts, Mo Ibrahim, not going to play. But Daniel Jackson's been out for a while. Do we expect him maybe to be back? What else do we have, Ryan?
Well, the Minnesota side of things, as far as I know, we're just waiting on the health status of Daniel Jackson. I mentioned it last week. He had been participating in practice. Hadn't got enough done in practice last week to know if he was going to play play last weekend against Maryland. This week, he's been practicing again. We'll see if the trainers give him the good to go. And again, I think if you have Daniel Jackson there, that takes Brady Boyd out of the rotation to me. You probably cut into whatever snaps Dalen Wright was getting, which hasn't been very much the last few weeks, and he probably cuts into Michael Brown-Stevens' snap share as well. So other than that, Coney Durr got a little dinged up during the game, but he returned. Asezio Tamiwa got a little dinged up during the game, but he returned. But Northwestern, it is a much different story. This team has gone through a significant amount of change since I believe they were the Big Ten West champions last year in 2020. They have a lot of things that are very fluid that from talking with a couple of their guys that cover the team, they don't even know who, about some of the big injury notes. One would be Steven Robinson Jr., Northwestern's best wideout. He missed the majority of last week's game to Michigan with a lower body injury that he sustained during the Wolverine game. And it's fun. I'll tell you, some of the quotes that I got from the Northwestern guy that I talked to for an article coming out on Thursday for Gopher Illustrated, he's very blunt and he's very, I'll say, candid about things. So Fitz talks on Monday. They don't get anything else in terms of injury updates until Northwestern will release an inactive report before the game. So we should know about 12:30, but their best receiver could be missing. They're already without a couple of their top running backs. I don't know who we're going to see at quarterback because, number one, they've been bad. Number two, injuries. They've got some different injury issues on defense as well. It's just, it's a mess. And because college football doesn't have an injury report like the NFL does, you know, from talking with both the coordinators today, they're preparing for a lot of different scenarios depending on what injury situations arise for the game on Saturday.
So, yeah, obviously – Northwestern is injured, and they've not been particularly good, but they do have this kind of great equalizer in our opinion. So I just want to make sure that we pay homage and respect Pat Fitzgerald, because through the years, what he's been able to accomplish at Northwestern, you know, winning the Big Ten West last year, you know, being incredibly competitive, man, what he's been able to do at a school like Northwestern is nothing short of impressive.
No doubt. There's a reason why I believe Northwestern has won the Big Ten West two of the last 3 years. And I mean, say what you will, but they haven't done it with as skilled of athletes that we've seen at Minnesota or Iowa or Wisconsin. I mean, it starts on defense. A Pat Fitzgerald defense is physical. They are disciplined. And it's not like their offenses have been incredibly good. Now, they were able to do some things last year with Peyton Ramsey. He's now gone. You know, Ramaj Kyle Bowman, he's now gone. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of change, and it doesn't really surprise me that much that Northwestern is 3-4 right now because of the significant amount of change. But, I mean, it does start for Northwestern on defense. You know what you're getting good on a Pat Fitzgerald team each and every week, and that's a lot of effort, and that's a lot of physicality.
All right, so let's look at Northwestern's defense when the Gophers are on offense. On the season, Minnesota is averaging 26.6 points per game. They are averaging 359 yards of total offense, 149 through the pass, and 210 on the ground. Conversely, Northwestern is only giving up 25.1 points per game, 417 yards of total offense, 199 through the air, and 218 on the ground. Things to note here, Ryan, are that Nebraska absolutely ran all over them, and additionally, Michigan did as well. Most recently, in the last five games, they have lost to Duke, beat Ohio, lost to Northwestern, beat Rutgers, and then lost.
So they lost to themselves?
Oh, did I say Northwestern? Nebraska. Sorry. They lost to Nebraska, where they got pummeled 56-7. Then they beat Rutgers 21-7, and now they most recently lost to number 6 Michigan. In general, they've kind of had an up and down season, not particularly consistent, and definitely struggled against some of what are considered the upper echelon teams of the Big Ten.
Yes, and it starts defensively, like you said. You look at their conference ranks right now in conference play. They're 13th in points per game allowed at 33.5. Now, again, some of the things that offensive coordinator for Minnesota, Mike Sanford, had to say was, you know, you take out that Nebraska game and it kind of changes everything because the option, they didn't play it very well and yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, they are 13th in conference play in points allowed per game. They're dead last in rushing yards allowed. In conference play, they're allowing 277, and they're dead last in yards per carry allowed at 6.2. Not very Northwestern-like, is it? And that's where they lost their longtime defensive coordinator in Mike Hankowitz right after the 2020 season. He had an amazing 13-year run. And then they hired Jim O'Neill, who there was skepticism at the time, and there's still skepticism remaining today. And again, I'll talk about it in the keys of the game, but you've also lost from that 2020 defense for the Wildcats, two all-conference D linemen, two all-conference linebackers, two all-conference defensive backs. It's a lot to lose. And you're starting, you know, to start the year, it was really bad. Now, they've made some strides in recent weeks. They hung with Michigan for a half, and then Michigan just was able to run the ball on them consistently. And the one thing I've noticed from watching a little bit of Northwestern tape, Luke, is they're not – it's weird to say Northwestern isn't a really good tackling team. They, especially from watching that Michigan game, there were way too many guys that were in positions to make plays but didn't make the tackle. And it reminded me a lot of the issues that Minnesota had against the run last year, where they were egregiously bad against the run. It's because guys were missing tackles, and then things would leak out, and then big explosive plays would happen. So that's going to be one of the things that has to happen this weekend, is Minnesota's running backs and Marquise Irving and Kai Thomas and Bryce Williams, they have to force some of these missed tackles, because Northwestern defensively is very disciplined. They're very sound, but I don't know that they necessarily have the athletes like we saw at linebacker, and like Patty Fisher and Blake Gallagher, who were, it seemed like they were there for 40 years. Well, they're now finally not there, and you're starting to see some of the ramifications of that. So I think this is going to be a game where offensively Minnesota's really going to want to run the ball again, but it all depends on, they need to have that passing game be able to complement them like we've seen the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you know, generally speaking, what we've been seeing from Minnesota is an unwillingness to really throw the ball, or not not being necessary, right? Looking back at the Northwestern game, you know, they were able to get it done in the run, and frankly, PJ said as much this week. He's like, hey, you may not like this, but I love this, right? He has a philosophy and he wants to follow it, and thus far history has told us he's not going to change. So what I'm hoping we see out of this Gopher offense is that, you know, they're aggressive early, and you know, if they're in control, I guess I'm fine with you running the ball. Just don't get yourself into like and we're only going to run the ball, and we're going to be so risk averse that, you know, you get yourself into a situation, where you're playing against a team you should beat, but you're giving them and keeping windows open for them to make opportunities, that they may normally not have if you were just willing to take a little bit more risk.
I don't know that I have much more to add to that. And I guess the only thing I'd say is, again, we've seen Sanford open it up after the self-scout. Now, whether that was Rossi laying into the offensive staff on the self-scouting, you need to do this more, you need to do this more, or just Sanford just kind of came out of the bye and was like, you know what, F it. I'm just going to roll with it until the head coach gets on the headset to say, mm-hmm. We're running it now, and that's what they're going to do. So, again, I'm not as worried about a Bowling Green type of offensive performance anymore. I really don't want to open the Bowling Green can of worms.
I don't want to either.
I know, and I'm just so freaking sick and tired of it.
I recognize
that people can enjoy a 3-game Big Ten winning streak. But
I think to put this in perspective, though, like in terms of like what kind of defense are the Gophers going up against, you know, statistically, this isn't what you're used to seeing out of Northwestern.
There's a lot of inexperienced guys that are continually getting playing time for the first time, and they've dealt with some injuries out there. I think both of their starting DNs left the game for a period of time last week. Plus, they've got brand new linebackers. Their secondary is actually pretty dang good, even with the loss of two all-conference guys from last year. They got a safety who's really, really good, and two corners that can play man press on the outside. So it's going to be on Sanford to use the passing game enough. Maybe we see Tanner Morgan, heaven forbid, throw the ball 20 times in a game. But luckily, the weather looks like it should allow that. So they need to use the passing game enough to complement it, because if you can get Northwestern in a negative game script early, shocker, one of my keys to the game is, you know, get a lead early, because Northwestern is not currently constructed, nor have they really ever been constructed to come from behind. And if you can get a 10-0 lead at the end of the first quarter, that's going to make things incredibly more difficult for that Northwestern team.
Yeah, and just to look at Northwestern, you know, historically they are a good defense. Maybe they don't have the pieces this year, and they're not nearly as efficient as they normally have been, but they're significantly better defensively from at least an efficiency standpoint of like a Maryland, right? The other thing is, like, I maybe am hitting this drum a little bit too much, but just don't take Pat Fitzgerald for granted, right? He is an excellent coach, and they often find ways to be in games that maybe they shouldn't be. And, you know, I think the first half in Michigan is part of the evidence of that. You know, they were really able to keep tight with Michigan and eventually got worn down. So don't keep that door open, and yeah, just play your game, and hopefully the Gophers can execute on offense just enough to get it done.
The Minnesota Moving Company up front needs to have a big day. They need to bring the physicality. Coke, Heath, and company need to complement them as well. And if they can be able to, as they've done the last month or so, win in the trenches consistently again, this is going to be a game where Minnesota will have a great chance to win.
Again, Gopher Gridiron Radio is brought to you by the Goal Line Club. Again, if you're a member, you can save on tailgates because you already are a member. So become a member today and support Gopher football. But if you aren't a member, that doesn't mean you're excluded from the tailgates. Ryan and I attend these tailgates. We are right next to the bar, most literally right next to the bar. Come over and say hi. Ryan, we had the opportunity to talk to many, many fans of both the podcast and Goal Line Club members in general. And man, it's been a lot of fun getting to know some of these people.
It is. And like, and you know, it's funny because I had a guy come up to me and be like, you know, you say it on the podcast that, you know, you guys are sitting here and you actually are. I'm like, yeah. I mean, we're sitting here having a drink. I'm sitting there having a rum and diet. Like, let's talk about whatever you want to talk about. So if you want to come to the tailgate for Illinois next weekend, again, it's the first week of November. This thing's going to start to get chilly pretty quickly. And that's where if it's going to be a 40-degree November day and you don't want to, you know, set up the tailgate and be outside with all your hand warmers already, come inside to Williams Arena. And the beautiful part about it is there's not even a promo code anymore, Luke, because they tried to use it so many times that the site had issues with it. So they've just dropped the price from $75 to $65 for the next two tailgates. It's all because all of our listeners tried to use that. So it's $65 for non-members. It may seem like a lot to some people, but folks, it's unlimited adult beverages, unlimited Tony's Diner. Get your money's worth there. Plus, the Goal Line Club will have luncheons again starting, I think, next week. So again, if you want to learn more, if you want to come to the tailgates, you want to learn more about the luncheons that'll be starting again, go to goalineclub.org/events.
All right, let's take a look at when the Gophers are on defense. Northwestern on the season is averaging 19.7 points, 154.4 yards of total offense, 193.3 through the air, 161.1 on the ground. The Gophers, conversely, 19.6 points per game that they're giving up, 312 yards of total offense, 226 through the air, and 85 on the ground, Ryan. Minnesota's defense has been playing pretty well, and I need to make sure that I make sure that that's clear. I have been impressed again with the improvements that they've made from 2020 to 2021, and I think they have an opportunity here to have another great game against Northwestern, who doesn't seem to be like a terribly efficient offense.
It's weird for me to say that through conference play so far, Northwestern has attempted the third most passes. Like, you know, Purdue's going to be up there, but Northwestern in the top three kind of shows you that they've been in a lot of negative game scripts, which I don't know that we've been able to say that too often about Fitzgerald's offenses because of their defense, but it's the reality for them right now. And that's where the quarterback position for them has been an absolute dumpster. It has been a dumpster fire because you had consistency last year with all-conference quarterback Peyton Ramsey, but he's gone. And we've seen not one, not two, not three, but four different quarterbacks attempt passes through seven games for Northwestern. Now, I'm going to imagine it's going to be South Carolina transfer Ryan Helinski against the Gophers, but it has been an interesting year of sorts. And that's where the actual starter was former five-star Hunter Johnson. And it was funny talking with the Northwestern guy about Hunter Johnson. Here's how he eloquently put the Hunter Johnson era at Northwestern. Are you ready?
Ready.
Hunter Johnson's 1.5 quarters of play against Duke was truly too terrible to put into words. He is never throwing another pass for his team, lest the apocalypse come down upon us all. Like, so you hate Tanner Morgan, not Luke, but some of the listeners. I think Northwestern would do a lot of things to have a Tanner Morgan.
Yeah.
So it might be Andrew Marty, who was injured, but then not injured. Hilinski has been fine. They also played another quarterback a little bit last week. So Joe Rossi is having a time trying to prepare for them all. Now, the other thing I would note, Luke, is do you know what week it is?
I don't know what week other than Halloween week. What week is it, Ryan?
It is the Evan Hall revenge game week.
Yes.
Maple Grove's own Evan Hall was not offered by Minnesota, ends up going to Northwestern, gets a late offer from them. And, I mean, if Minnesota's had their own running back injuries, but listen to this one. So, Cam Porter was their starting tailback going into fall camp. Guess what? He suffers an injury and he's out for the season. Woof. Well, that's okay. They got other guys, right? Well, their next two leading rushers from 2020 and Drake Anderson and Isaiah Bowser, they both transferred in the offseason because I'm assuming they were told Cam Porter's going to be the guy. So Evan Hull, who was going into the season potentially RB4, has been their primary back, and he's statistically been pretty decent. Leading rusher in attempts, touchdowns, yards. He's averaging like 6 yards a carry. But the issue is Northwestern has been in so many negative game scripts. I mean, the kid just hasn't had a lot of time to get out there and touch the ball that much. So, I mean, if you're Minnesota, you got to stop this. I mean, you got to stop Evan Hall, number one, because you want to have Ryan Hilinski try to beat you or whoever the quarterback is. Because here's also the reality for what – for what Northwestern's passing core looks like. From 2020, their top two receivers are gone. Ramon Chikayo Bowman, Kyreek McGowan. Plus, they lost John Rain and Riley Lees, who also caught 20-plus balls from them last year. Also, Steven Robinson Jr., arguably their best receiver, I'm going to say is more likely than not probably going to miss the game. He left the game last week, didn't return. And so... also, Bryce Kurtz, who was potentially their wide receiver one, is also out for the season. So it's like, who is Northwestern going to pass the ball to? I just expect to see Minnesota put 7-8 in the box and say, whoever is at receiver, you know what? If you beat us, you beat us. But I expect this to be a game where Minnesota tries to get after the quarterback a little bit and stop the run, Luke.
Yeah, you know, looking at Northwestern's offense, they're particularly not great at getting first downs on first or second down. They rank 112th in the country. But, you know, so then, like, are they pretty good at getting first downs on third and fourth down? No, they're not particularly great there. Minnesota's not great. They give up a lot of first downs on first and second down defensively, but Minnesota is top 10 in the country in getting off the field on third and fourth down success. So I imagine, like, this doesn't look like it's a great matchup for the Northwestern offense, at least. Like, how are they going to be able to move the ball on this defense? I don't really know. They're not particularly explosive. They're not particularly efficient on offense. So I think this should be a good day for Minnesota. But I mean, obviously they have to play the game, and we'll see what comes of this, Ryan.
Right, and that's where, again, if I'm Joe Rossi and I'm Minnesota, I'm putting 7-8 in the box, because without their top four pass catchers from 2020, their top two pass catchers from this year, potentially, with Bryce Kurtz already confirmed out for the game, Steven Robinson left the game against Michigan, didn't return, doesn't sound like Fitz was optimistic that he'll play. So if their top two receivers are going to be out, and you have a quarterback who has been incredibly meh to the point where it's been that way all season, I mean, if you're Minnesota, stop the damn run, stop Evan Hall. And if Ryan Hilinski has himself a day with some inexperienced pass catchers, so be it.
Once again, it's time for Gopher Math, brought to you by Ayers Rock Planning. If you are looking to save money on your taxes, and you're not just looking to save money, you know, just for 1 year, but for the long term, make sure you reach out to Ayers Rock Planning. They will individualize a plan and come to you with a plan. I don't know the last time you had a tax professional come to you with a plan on how you're going to save money, but Ayers Rock Plan will do just that. It will be personalized just to you, just to your family, just to your business. business. So if you're interested in that, go to ayersrockplanning.com. Additionally, slide into the DMs, Ayers Rock Plans on Twitter. Reach out to them and get some support with your taxes here in 2021. Ryan, for Gopher Math, though, we have a question, and Ayers Rock Plan is going to fund 2 months of GI for the first person who answers this question correctly. So, Ryan, what is our question?
You're going to have to bear with me because it's a little bit of a long one. Now, again, 2 free months of GI is on the line. This gets you through National Signing Day and damn near all the way to the bowl game. So if you want 2 free months to get behind the paywall, ask me questions, ask Ryan James questions, learn about the secret visitors that Minnesota's had on campus. That's what we like to call in the business a tease there, Luke. This is the time because you are going to get the most bang for your buck. So this week's question, and again, PEMDAS does not apply. Just take the first number, apply the function to the second one, and so on and so forth. Let's do this. Gopher football points scored in Evanston since 2010. Times Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year awards for Pat Fitzgerald, plus total bowl games for Minnesota, minus the longest Northwestern winning streak over Minnesota, divided by the seasons that Pat Fitzgerald has been the head coach at Northwestern. I can assure you this number is a whole number, Luke. There's a lot of different functions going on there. Again, take the first number, apply the second function to the second number, and so on and so forth. So once you have the answer, tag me at Ryan Burns MN, tag at Ayers Rock Plans on Twitter, and tag Gopher Radio with the answer. First one to get it gets 2 free months of Gopher Illustrated, Luke.
All right, let's take a look at the facts and figures for this game. Minnesota is on the road in Evanston, Illinois for a 2:30 kick against the Northwestern Wildcats. That game will be on the 30th of December, right before Halloween, on the Big Ten Network. Looking at the betting statistics, the game right now, as I see it, Ryan, is a 43.5 over under. Minnesota is currently a 7.5 point favorite on the season. Minnesota's 4-2-1 against the spread, while Northwestern is 2-5-0 against the spread. And then taking a real quick look at the weather, because this is very important in Evanston. How many years does it feel like the Gophers go into Evanston and it's just like brutally cold, maybe borderline snowing with like an incredible gale force wind? But for this game, starting at 2:30, it should be about 56 degrees with 13 miles an hour of wind. So fairly nice. The wind shouldn't be that big a factor. And as the game wraps up about 6:15 or 6:30, we're looking at about 54 degrees with about 12 miles an hour of wind. Right now, not predicting any precipitation. Now, that precipitation obviously could still formulate, because Ryan has told me again and again and again that don't trust a forecast until you're about 24 days out. We're recording this on a Wednesday. So do with that what you wish.
So 24 days out or 24 hours?
24 hours out. Yeah, 24 hours. My bad.
And even then, as someone who had an opportunity at 140-inch deer last week, I can tell you the wind said it was doing one thing on my NOAA weather app, but I can assure you the wind wasn't right, and it cost me I'm not bitter about that at all. But yes, I think if anything, there might be a little bit of wind factor in this, which again, we'll see Saturday morning what the wind looks like in Evanston, but no precipitation in the air is all good with me.
Right, exactly. So, again, Minnesota, a 7-point favorite on a 43.5 over under. So, Ryan, what are your keys to this game?
Well, the first key is going to be grab an early lead on the road, because Northwestern, a traditionally defensive first team under Pat Fitzgerald, well, it hasn't been so far so far here in 2021. Through four conference games, the Wildcats rank here in the Big Ten Conference 13th in points per game allowed at 33.5. They are dead last in rushing yards allowed per game at 277.5, and 14th, dead last in yards per carry allowed at 6.2. That's now, to me, Luke, that's not very Northwestern-like, right?
No, so, it's not.
In three of the four Big Ten games, Northwestern has allowed opposing running backs to go over 229 yards in three of them, including last week at Michigan, where the Wolverines went for 229 running back rushing yards and four scores. Overall, in Big Ten play, Northwestern is allowing opposing running backs to earn 6.72 yards per carry, which is the worst in the Big Ten. Now, to be fair, once again, Northwestern's defense has gone through quite a bit of change since the end of last season. You know, you lost your longtime defensive coordinator, Mike Hankowitz. Amazing 13-year run in year one of the Jim O'Neill era hasn't exactly gone swimmingly. He lost two all-conference defensive linemen in Ernest Brown and Ikuliota, and two all-conference linebackers in Patty Fisher and Blake Gallagher, who I felt like were there for 40 years. You had two all-conference defensive backs in Greg Newsome and J.R. Pace. They're no longer there, along with what I thought was a pretty solid defensive back in Cameron Ruiz. So that's a ton to lose. I mean, that's a ton of high-quality players to lose defensively. And going from Fisher and Gallagher to Peter McIntyre and the younger Gallagher and Bryce Gallagher has not been the same. Per Pro Football Focus, both 2021 linebackers have grades below 50.3. Now, to give context for those of you who don't read the weekly Pro Football Focus grades, an average grade is a 60, so a 60.0. So they've both been below average compared to what we saw from Patty Fisher and Blake Gallagher a year ago. Well, it's no surprise that below average linebacker play is not going to help you. And that's where McIntyre and the younger Gallagher are among the team leaders in missed tackles. So against what is statistically the worst defense in conference play, I'd be surprised if PJ Fleck's plan of attack isn't what it was the same thing as last week. And that's the ground and that's the pound. But I will say this, offensive coordinator Mike Sanford needs to keep utilizing that first half mix that we've seen when the game hasn't necessarily been as, is out of reach, where it's been 55-45 type of run to pass the last 2 weeks. You know, we've seen a more aggressive play caller in Mike Sanford since the bye week against, since the last 2 weeks with Nebraska and Maryland. And it probably helps that you have a healthy Chris Ottman Bell in the mix. But if you can get Northwestern in a negative game script for a team that is going to potentially be without a couple of their key playmakers offensively and a quarterback that hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire, that's the recipe for success for this Gopher offense. So getting an early lead, a 10-0 lead into the second quarter, I think will help quite a bit. Now, defensively, you got to stop Evan Hall and you got to stop the quarterback and Ryan Helinski. Now, I mentioned all the personnel losses for Northwestern. Defensively, well, let me run through them again on offense. Your all-conference quarterback is gone and you've played four different quarterbacks in seven games. Probably means there's not a lot of good things happening there. Your projected 2021 starting running back and Cam Porter, he's out for the season. Your two guys behind him, well, they transferred out. So you've got Evan Hall, Maple Grove zone is the primary back. He's their leading rusher in attempts, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns. But here's what I'll say. That run defense for Minnesota, oh, by the way, it's been pretty good. Joe Rossi's defense has been incredibly stout against the run. In the month of October alone, the Gophers have only allowed 292 rushing yards for a 3.31 yards per carry average. You go back through the Colorado game, they've allowed 295 total rushing yards at a 2.2 yards per carry clip allowed. That is tremendous. Now, statistically speaking, Northwestern is 11th in the Big Ten in rushing yards per game. They're about 12th in yards per carry. Not exactly an elite rushing offense. They've got two tackles who are pretty good, but the interior of that line, it has left a little bit to be desired from talking with some Northwestern personnel there. So it's weird to talk about a Northwestern offense. As I said earlier, they've attempted the third most passes in the Big Ten. It doesn't feel like we've said that too often about a Pat Fitzgerald team, but it's been the reality. They're without their top two receivers from last year. They're without their top four receivers in John Rain and Riley Lees from last year. They're without Bryce Kurtz, who was their best receiver. They might be without their second best receiver in Steven Robinson Jr. Like, this is going to be an inexperienced receiving core at some point on Saturday. So for Minnesota defensively, this is a Wildcat team that Luke mentioned struggles to get first downs as well. They are 12th in conference play in first downs achieved. and it needs to remain that way. So get off the field on third down and put this Northwestern offense in a negative game script. And that's where, Luke, no surprise, special teams is back in the equation for the third key to the game.
Better question for you, Ryan. Has special teams not been in the keys to the game this year?
I ignored it a couple of weeks, okay. So let me live a little bit. Okay. But here's what I'll say. Northwestern's kicking game it's freaking horrible. I mean, they're terrible in conference play. Like, the Wildcats rank dead last in yards per punt in conference play at 39.6. They're 13th in net yards per punt. Do you know where Minnesota ranks in yards per punt, gross and net? And I think the answer is going to surprise you.
Was this in the Big Ten or nationally? Sorry.
This is in the Big Ten.
Well, they're not going to be with Iowa and some of the other. So I'm going to say, like, I'll go eighth.
They are fourth in the Big Ten in net yards per punt and raw yards per punt. No way. I was as shocked as you were. So, in theory, you got the advantage in the punt game. And then sweet Moses of Mary, good googly moogly, whatever you want to say. It has been an adventure for Pat Fitzgerald with field goals. The Wildcats have not made a field goal in Big Ten play. They are the only team to do so. The next closest is, I believe, there's another Big Ten team that's made four. They are 0-for-4 in field goal attempts. And they're not. It's not like these are deep field goals. We're talking 44 yards, 44 yards, 39, and 38. Now, Minnesota hasn't been much better. They're only 5-of-8 in conference play field goals. But, Luke, they don't have a kicker who can make a field goal. Like, they want to burn their kicker at the stake. So on paper, it's an advantage for Rob Wenger and company, but it's got to remain that way if Minnesota's going to get a win. So, Luke, you win the kicking game, you're going to have a great opportunity to finish the month of October undefeated for the second year in the last 3 years.
All right, so we probably got to get to predictions here. Do you want to go first or second, Ryan?
I'll go first this time. In the last 6 Minnesota-Northwestern games, who do you think has the advantage?
I bet it's pretty dead split. I'll go 3-3.
Damn, I don't remember. It is 3-3.
Yeah.
They are tied 3-3. Minnesota is 1-2 in Evanston in their last 3 attempts. But this Northwestern team gives me a lot of vibes of 2019 where they weren't particularly good and Minnesota was able to win. But, I mean, objectively, Luke, these two teams right now, as we currently sit here in late October of 2021, they feel like they are very much on different trajectories. You know, Minnesota's 3-0 in October. The Wildcats are 1-2, and they've been blown out twice in those two losses. So I could see this being another game where Minnesota does score 30-plus. Now, I'll put the disclaimer. If they do that, Northwestern continues to struggle to stop the run and to tackle. Now, to be fair, Luke, in Minnesota's 5 games this year, do you know how many times they've put up 30-plus points?
I think it's actually most of them. So there's 6 games, right? I would say, boy.
They've played 7 games.
So I'd say 5.
Once again, Luke Buehr is correct.
Yes.
They have scored Minnesota's offense, or Minnesota, the team in general, has scored 30-plus points in 5 of their 7 games. Now, I think too highly of Pat Fitzgerald's defense, especially at home. I will say Minnesota still finishes out October undefeated. I got Minnesota 24, Northwestern 13. I could see Minnesota getting to that 28-31 number, especially if the running game gets going. But, like, I've seen some – like, I saw Bill Conley with S&P and then one of my new favorite Twitter people in Stats of War, thanks to the Eyes on Big Ten podcast for that shout-out. Like, apparently the advanced stats say that Northwestern's going to score 20 points in this game or more points apparently. And I'm just sitting here thinking, I don't know how that happens unless Minnesota just randomly gives up some big plays, which they haven't been doing over the last month. Now I could see Minnesota, like I said, scoring 28 or more, but I'm going to say this thing hits the under. I take Minnesota in the 7.5. Like I said, Minnesota 24, Northwestern 13.
Okay. Again, just a reminder, we didn't say this to start, but the over-under in this game is 43.5. Minnesota is a 7.5-point favorite. I have basically stated my love for Pat Fitzgerald basically the entire podcast. I do think that Minnesota is going to win, though. I do think it'll be closer. I'm also going to go with the under. I am going to go with a 24 to...
This is a big number, Luke. Are you going to go 14, 17, 20? Where are you going?
13. Yeah, 24, 13.
You can't copy mine. No, you have to pick something different.
I literally wasn't listening to you. I literally wasn't listening to you when you talked.
What are you?
I'm just
what
kidding.
Are you, my fiance? I'll go
24, 17 then, just to be different.
All right, so Luke's going to take Northwestern and in the points.
That's giving the edge to Northwestern on the spread there. Again, Ryan, insurance is one of those necessities in life. Whether we like it or not, we're going to need to insure things like our car, our homes, our boats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So who should we be calling for our insurance needs?
You should be contacting the Burns Insurance Agency in Oakdale, Minnesota. Bill Burns, my father, is a gigantic Gopher fan. And the funny part about it is I saw recently here on the Facebook, he had a couple switch, and I think it was their home and their auto. And he brings them in, you know, for the paperwork. So they got to sign in person. And he gets the giant checkout. And it turns out they saved over $1,000 between their home and their auto for that year just because they called him for a free quote. And oh, by the way, if you like saving money and potentially thousands of dollars, plus if you like getting that gigantic check that doesn't really have any value, but it looks really cool, that's where the Burns Insurance Agency can help you save some money. So as Luke said, whether it's your home, whether it's your auto, whether it's your business, your boat, whatever it may be, there is a giant Gopher football fan looking to help you save the most amount of money that you can, but also make sure you are as protected as you can possibly be. He is an independent insurance agent. He's got access to over 20 different insurance companies to shop for the best coverage at the best price. So let the insurance Burns Insurance Agency to do the insurance shopping for you. Contact him at bill@insurancebyburns.com via email or head to their website at insurancebyburns.com.
Ryan, I've been anticipating this preview episode for some time because the slate of Big Ten games this weekend is just phenomenal, in my opinion. We've got Michigan.
We finally get to get some answers, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
it feels like, what are Separation we like, Saturday, right? I think
it is. I mean, that's a great, that. I mean, yeah. Somebody should steal that Separation Saturday. And that's where we've been waiting. I mean, we're like 2/3 of the way through the season and you got all these Big Ten teams that think they might be contenders. They might be pretenders. Well, guess what? As Luke just said, it's Separation Saturday time.
All right, so let's get into this. I want to start actually with probably the game of the week, Michigan at Michigan State. Again, this is number 6 Michigan. I don't think anybody saw this coming with Michigan State being ranked number 8 in the country, undefeated, going into week 9. But so here, the over-under for this game is 50. Michigan is minus 4. Maybe a little bit surprised that Michigan is the favorite on the road. But then again, Michigan's been playing some phenomenal football, Ryan.
I know Michigan State fans want to believe. I know that they do, and we've seen this a time or two before, or especially was that special teams play that killed him a couple of years ago. But I just think this Michigan team, here's what I'll say. I am incredibly intrigued to see Michigan State's offense, led by former Golden Gopher offensive coordinator for one season and Jay Johnson, go up against what is a pretty damn good defense for Michigan, Luke.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that we have to note is Michigan's offense is the second most efficient in the Big Ten, but also Michigan's defense has also been pretty good this year. They're fairly impressive as well. And now this is probably the best offense the Michigan defense is going to face all season. Well, no, sorry, my bad. That was very disrespectful to Ohio State thus far in the season. But I think this is going to be a phenomenal test for both teams. And I hope
what's the spread.
The spread is 4 in favor of Michigan.
Yeah, I was about to say, I bet I don't know what the over-under is, but I'm going to take Michigan.
Are you literally listening? I literally said this. You need to pay attention to me more. Over-under is 50.
Ooh. I'm going to take the over then. I'm going to go like 31. I'll go 31-21 Michigan.
All right. I like it. Okay. On paper, this is probably the next best game of the week. Number 5 Ohio State hosts number 20 Penn State.
Hold on a minute. Why is this game better than Iowa, Wisconsin?
On paper.
Why would it be better? Penn State looks like absolute trash right now.
That's the point, right? Because who knows what you're going to get from Clifford. You know, maybe 3 weeks ago, this would have been phenomenal.
Yeah, you are literally making my point for me, Mr. Buehler. Yeah, so why would this be better? Why would this game be better than Iowa, Wisconsin?
Literally, the only reason is both teams are ranked. That's the only reason. But so here we go. Real quick, just an overview. Over-under is 60 for this game, Ryan. Ohio State is 18.5-point favorite. Just put that into perspective. How good does Vegas think Ohio State is? They're 18.5-point favorite over the number 20 team in the country. I know that Penn State's injured. But man, and the only other thing that we got to make sure that we acknowledge, James Franklin, what a fraud, doesn't want distractions, fires his agent this week as he's being speculated for the USC job. Like, man alive. Like,
well, if you believe the reports that have come out since then, allegedly he made the switch in the offseason, but nobody heard about it until this week. Oh,
okay. Well, this
allegedly, well, boy, isn't that convenient.
That's the PR spin this week. Okay. Got it.
That's his PR spin. And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm not focused on that. And I think he's like, I'm focused on Illinois. And people are like, you know, you're playing Ohio State this weekend James.
I did see that. That was hilarious. Okay.
All right. So what are you going to pick this game?
I'll pick this game for us. I think that it's probably an over, and it's even at 60, ooh, right? Largely because I think that Ohio State's just that good. And I think that I'm hoping that Sean Clifford will bounce back and they'll be able to be a little bit more formidable foe for Ohio State. But I'll also take Ohio State in the spread. I think I'm going to go 41.
Jesus.
21.
Boy, you don't think highly of that Penn State defense then, do you?
I think so highly of that Ohio State offense. Like, I just have a hard time not picking them scoring 40 points.
Did you say it's 17 or 18 for the spread?
18.5.
All right. I'm going to take Penn State in the points and the under, 35-17 Ohio State.
Brilliant. Okay. I think the game that everybody in the Big Ten West is going to be keeping their eye on, number 9 Iowa at Madison, 11 a.m. kick on ESPN. Man, what do you think, Ryan? Like, Wisconsin is playing better. They're not great offensively. Currently, they are a 3.5-point favorite at a 36.5 over-under.
That is the most beautiful thing I've seen this side of Saskatoon. It is a beautiful over under, and it's funny to like look at the advanced stats again. That's where our guy Stats of War, I know you know it, but like his algorithm or whatever you want to says, like he's got this game 13-8 Wisconsin, which how beautiful is that? That's the most Big Ten score I have ever heard. If it comes out to be 13-8,
and part of the reason that that's so beautiful is because you know that Iowa is totally capable of getting a safety and missing an extra point to get to 8.
I would love for this game to be like 12-9. No touchdowns, only field goals, because each one of these offenses doesn't deserve to be here.
Do you think – here's my thought process on this game. Do you think the quarterback that plays better wins?
That's – you seem to be on the same page with me a lot today. Well, this never happens.
This rarely happens. We don't agree on a lot usually.
Well, that's why we make for a good podcast. But, yeah, if you told me Graham Mertz – as you just said, if Graham Mertz is the one who's got the most turnovers between him and Spencer Petras, well, Iowa's going to win. You know, if Spencer Petras turns the ball over more than Graham Mertz, I'd tell you Wisconsin's going to win.
And here's the thing. Now, both of these teams, though, are traditionally like very good running the ball. Wisconsin was last week, but they, you know, they haven't had this identity rooted in running the ball. And as good as Tyler Goodson's been, they haven't given him as many rushing attempts as I would have expected.
Well, here's the thing too, like for each of these offenses, they're going against like what are top 20 run defenses nationally. And yes, I can eat my words that, you know, I think I said, what did I say? I didn't think Iowa was going to be a top 30 run defense. Well, turns out so far they are. Whoops, I'm an idiot. But if you're a Minnesota fan, and I think Dan Owen broke this down really well on the boards, you want Iowa to win. Now, why? Because that essentially knocks Wisconsin out of the West race, and it comes down to, you know, 17 days from now in Iowa City. Now, the thing that can throw a wrench into all this is if Nebraska decides to show up over the next 4 weeks, especially the last two against Iowa and Wisconsin there, especially on Black Friday in Lincoln, where it could get awfully interesting. But if Iowa wins, Wisconsin's at three Big Ten losses, they're essentially out of this thing unless something crazy happens, and that would mean Nebraska's winning some football games. But if Wisconsin wins, it's a three-team race again, because Minnesota, if they win this weekend, like we've predicted, would be atop the Big Ten West with just one Big Ten loss. Both Iowa and Wisconsin would be at two. I mean, it is an interesting 11 a.m. game that I'm sure many eyes will be on across the upper Midwest.
All right. I will take Wisconsin to win this outright. I'm going to take 17 to 10.
I'll tell you, I think Wisconsin wins this game at home because, as now the pair and the spare boys of Justin Gard and Chip Scoggins have told me, I just apparently have a love affair with Jim Leonard.
You do.
But I mean, to an extent, yes. I'll fall on the sword. I'm going to say Wisconsin wins. I'm taking the under first and foremost, unless I'm going to be so triggered if this is one of them random Iowa two touchdown defensive and special teams games, I'll tell you right now. But I will take Wisconsin 20, Iowa 14.
All right. So a good segue. You talked about Nebraska. They're taking on Purdue. This is a 2:30 kick in Lincoln coming off a bye. Purdue obviously had kind of the stinker against Wisconsin after beating Iowa on the road. The over under of this game, Ryan, is 52, a 7.5 point favorite for Nebraska. That's a teeny bit of a surprise for me, actually.
I just don't know what we're going to see from Nebraska here off the bye. Like, I also don't know what we're going to see from Purdue. Like, is this another year where Purdue is this the one hit wonder where they beat the top 10 team and they fall back into mediocrity like they have for most of the Jeff Brohm era? Well, welcome Jeff Brohm mediocrity to that. What is Scott Frost mediocrity? Someone has to win this game. And on paper, like Vegas has it, Nebraska should win this. It's at home. Like, Nebraska has found ways each week to lose games. I think they're better than what the record indicates. But in that same respect, Adrian Martinez has to win them a ball game in the second half at some point here of his 2021 career. So I'm going to take Nebraska. What'd you say the over-under is?
52.
I hate doing this. I'm going to take the under again. I'm just team under today. I'm going to say this game is like, I will go Nebraska 28, Purdue 21.
All right, I'm going to take Purdue in this game. I think they have an improved defense. You know, I do think that defense is improved. And
if you're right, holy hell, Lincoln is going to be on fire.
Yeah, no kidding. But, you know, Nebraska is losers of, you know, four of their last five games. And, you know, Brohm has this history of, like, not play well, play well, not play well, play well. And I'm just going to say, like, they find a way to bounce back here. You know, we were able to see Minnesota be able to throw the ball a little bit against Nebraska to open up that game. I think David Bell is legit. And so I'll take Nebraska here. Man, we don't normally pick all these games, and here we are, and I didn't do any prep for this, and you probably did. I'll take Purdue at 28 to 27.
boy, you don't think much of that Nebraska defense, but I mean, it's plausible. I don't really care to pick the Rutgers-Illinois game.
No.
Yeah. But I do want to pick the Illinois-Maryland one.
Okay, that's fine.
Excuse me, the Indiana-Maryland one, because that one is, again, we just saw Maryland last week. Mm-hmm. You see Indiana in a few weeks. And if either one of these teams is going to make a bowl game, they have to beat one another.
Have you looked at the spread for this game?
No, but I'm going to guess with Maryland at home, it's like Maryland minus two.
Okay. Maryland minus 5.5. Over under 49.5. This is an 11 a.m. kick on BTN.
That's so many points for an abysmal Indiana offense and Taulia Tagovailoa without his top two options.
I mean, if they both hit their season averages in points, they get to 48. So, I mean, their averages are under, which I was a little surprised. I'm going to definitely take the under here. I think Loxley is... I think it's kind of a train wreck. They're just so broken. I'll take Indiana to win this game, and I'll go 24-21.
I'm going to pick Indiana because I don't think Loxley's a good coach. But in that, it's also like Indiana's quarterbacks right now, man. Like Penix is injured.
Mm-hmm.
The kid behind him ain't that good. They're talking about playing a true freshman. I'm going to say this game is just, it's an under, and I'm going to go Indiana 20, Maryland 17.
So I know you're not interested in picking the score to the Rutgers-Illinois game, but...
I have no idea what the spread on this thing is.
No, I can tell you the spread, but what do you think the get-in price is for that game?
Is it Rutgers-Illinois?
Rutgers at Illinois.
Like $12.
$38. I was really surprised.
Who is paying? What?
I couldn't believe it's $38. Over under 42. Illinois plus 1.5. So Rutgers favored by 1.5. I was very surprised that Rutgers is the favorite here. I have a coworker that's a Rutgers alum. You know, he's been struggling, but he keeps saying to me, you know, Luke, you know, just want to keep it respectable. They were proud of the effort at Michigan, then just completely deflated after the Ohio State game, completely deflated after the Michigan State game. So, and then even more deflated after the Northwestern game. So they're hoping to bounce back. I'm not going to make you pick this one, but man, this
could Rutgers be... 24, Illinois 23.
Okay, golly, there you go. You took the over too.
Gross,
man. I want to thank everybody for listening. I'm really excited to break this week down in the Big Ten with Derek. It's gonna be fun. Again, thank you for listening. Thanks to Ayers Rock Planning, thanks to the Burns Insurance Agency, and thank you to the Goal Line Club. Enjoy the game and go Gophers.